Our guest in studio is Sophia Gadbois, and she's accompanied by her dad, Rick Gadbois. So thank you guys for coming down and helping us out today, and thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So would you like to jump right into a song for us?
Yep.
Sounds great. Okay. Oh, by the way, Gadbois.
Gadbois, sorry.
Okay. He loved me in a dream, and when I woke so strange it seemed. I wonder why I ever bothered opening my eyes. It left me so confused. I wanted just to forget about you, but feelings seem to stay, even when I try to push them away. Only in a dream you love me. Only in a dream you cared. Only in a dream you were there. Maybe I'll just rest, sleep a little longer. I know he's in my head. How long is he planning on staying there? I don't know why I'm imagining. Maybe it's plain to see that he never really even wanted me. But you loved me in a dream that will never be reality. I said I wouldn't fall, but here I am. I'm ready to call you. Only in a dream
Beautiful.
Thanks.
And so that's Sophia and Rick Gadbois. Sorry, I grew up with a fellow named Gadbois, but I guess I Gloucesterized the pronunciation.
Exactly. Are you from Gloucester, from the area?
Sophia grew up here in Gloucester.
Yeah, I'm from here.
And I grew up in the North Shore in Danvers.
Well, then you may know, in Salem, it's a Doucette. In Gloucester, it's Dowsett.
Mm-hmm.
In Salem, it's Michaud. In Gloucester, it's Michaud. So naturally, you know,
and
if you guys were in Salem,
we're in a long line of Gadbois.
Yeah.
And we decided to convert it back.
Right. Okay. Well, when I went to Montreal, everybody's French. They say Gadbois. Yeah.
Of course. Yeah. I was just about to say that.
Yeah.
Do you speak French, or you must have picked it up after being there for a couple of years?
No, I don't. I can say je m'appelle Sophia.
Je m'appelle, bonjour,
Yeah, that's about it.
Well, I got D's in 2 years of French, so I can't say anything. But anyway, that's a great tune. Why don't you tell us about it, because you have a CD that came out recently.
Right, yeah. So I just produced an EP a couple months ago, and this song was called Only in a Dream. It's the first song on there. And really, it's about a dream. It's only in a dream.
Wow.
And yeah, I had... I was really fortunate enough to work with Rene Dupuy, Joe Cardoza, Leo Scimitaro,
yeah.
Rick Gadbois.
And Rick Gadbois. Yeah,
of course, yes.
Yeah.
Buried the lead there. Yeah,
yeah, so they're on the EP with me. And yeah, had
Not
a lot of fun.
With studio?
Bang a Song, yeah.
Bang a Song.
Warren Babson mixed it all, yeah.
Yeah, so as I mentioned at a previous show, because we had Josh... Alexandra and Josh in here, and they just finished theirs at Bang a Song, and it's pretty much 95% of the guests in here have done work down there. So it's always a plug for Tony, who was a guest we had in our first season.
Yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
They're great.
So why don't we jump right into how people can get a hold of it?
Okay, well, right now I have it on Bandcamp, so it's at sophiagadbois.bandcamp.com, and soon I will have CDs out. And I'm on Facebook. You can just add me on Facebook. And right now, that's where it is.
All right, yeah. Great.
I'm told my mic is not on, and I can't hear me. Can you guys hear me?
No.
No, they can hear me. Ambient. This mic is not on.
Try that.
Hello. No, nothing. There we go.
There
we go. All right, thank you.
Welcome.
He's tried to do this before. And see, I don't catch it until I go home and put it up on the internet.
Right.
Oh, wait a minute. How did you get started in this? Because a mother and dad... mother and dad.
Father,
daughter, and dad, or father-daughter combination, we haven't seen it yet in here, have we? And it's a little rare, but you guys are, you're young, and you're very young. So how did you guys get started with this?
Well, I've been singing since I was a little kid, and I mean, my dad was definitely the one who brought music into the house. There was always music playing, and he was always playing guitar, and he taught me how to play guitar, actually, and... he was my first view of music, but I'd been singing since I was really little, yeah.
Sophia was the young girl, little girl in the back of the car that just was in her own world, just singing away, and it's really beautiful to listen to. She had a nice touch early on.
My daughter was 2, I think, or maybe 3, and she came into the house. She was out with me one day, and we came back into the house. And she was singing, as best she could, Dirty Deeds, Dirt Cheap. And my
Top
wife
one.
Said, you can't play the radio anymore when she's in the car. So I don't think you did that, right? What were some of the influences that your daughter listened to?
Well, go ahead, Sophie.
Oh, man. I don't even remember. I know Queen was there. I definitely listened to Huglio.
The alter ego.
The alter ego of Rick. Definitely a lot of classic rock.
Ramones.
The Ramones. Yeah, I love the Ramones. but it's definitely arced a little bit. But my first music was like classic rock.
Mom might have.
Mom always would play Bruce Springsteen and jazz.
At some point, jazz came in, and that's...
She taught me Summertime, actually.
Right.
She's not a singer or anything, but she taught it to me.
Yeah.
So what's your music, Rick? What'd you start with and you know, your influences, I guess, of the music you listened to?
Yeah, I played in a bunch of bands, writing kind of original rock music when I was younger. And Sophia just mentioned Huglio, so I have an alter ego that I performed under. And it was a great vehicle for writing music. It's kind of foreign... sounding music, and I put out a CD and stuff. So, that's basically my thing. So, part time musician.
So what does it feel like as a dad to have this come to fruition? To have this set up where you are actually, supporting your daughter in more ways than just one, but especially in playing music with her.
Well, it's great to be here and to go to places and back her up. It's probably switched in a way. I backed her up when she was younger, too, when she was playing at talent shows and things like that. It was always been a huge gift, right, to get on the stage with your daughter and sure. support her and do it together and prepare together, and the whole thing has been really, like I say, it's a huge gift, always has been. And it's interesting, too, because at McGill, where Sophia's going, she'll tell you better, but she's really, all the courses are all music courses. Mm-hmm. So she's yep. come back, and now she's ahead, you know, she's past me.
Right.
So all the chords and things were going over. Now she's the boss and, you know, teaching me about music structure and everything. So
mm-hmm.
I was kind of just turn the guitar on and start playing, and she's really been learning.
So when she plays at Gillette Stadium, will you get to go up on stage? Do you want to invite him up on stage?
Maybe, we'll see.
Maybe. Okay.
Stage hand.
Time will tell, yeah.
Okay. You can be there.
I get to be there, yeah.
Well, I understand the feeling you'd have, Rick, because two of my three kids play bass, which is great, and we played at my daughter's wedding, the one who's not the musician, so it was great playing with them. So I can feel you here. It's great.
Yeah.
So why don't we? You want to go right into one of your recordings?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure.
So we can give people a taste of that, and again, they can get it at Bandcamp now. And stay tuned for CDs that'll be available. Did you give a date? I'm sorry, I was spacing out for CDs.
We don't have a date yet.
No date yet, but
they're
be coming.
They're coming soon. They're coming soon.
They're on order.
Trust you.
Yeah. Okay.
But the CD is available on Bandcamp. You know, the music is
right,
available
right.
on
yep.
Bandcamp
and you can
now.
Download it, MP3, mm-hmm. have it there.
And it's Sophia
SophiaGadbois.bandcamp.com.
It's not the other way around. Okay.
Yep.
Sophia has an F.
Sophia, right. Yeah, as names aren't my specialty here. I was only in politics. They don't know names. Okay. So here it is.
Trust you.
Your love is like a beaten dog, bruised, black, and bare. Your love is like an unborn child. It simply isn't there. And yet I'm still expecting you, though the 9 months are overdue. Tiger, I was ready to pounce. My love is like a summer, but it is stuck in a drought. You're still in the winter, I think you froze. 'Cause your heart is too dark and much too cold. Like a rainbow, it has so many colors. Now it's just a rain cloud, my sky won't clear. Now I'm waiting for another thunderstorm, afraid that everyone I love will disappear. I thought that we were more than something you would abandon. I thought that I was at least your friend.
All right, we're back. And that was Trust Me. Trust you. Well, I trust me and you.
That was a rocker. I love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one's a little more rock influenced. Yeah.
And what gave it the rocking aspect was the lead guitar, which was?
Yeah, which was Fly Amaro.
Yeah, and some people out there probably heard him.
Yeah.
How many voices are on there? Were they your voices?
Rene Dupuis backed me up. Mm. There were around like three. We did probably three backups after the lead voice, yeah.
You dubbed over?
I did one. And she did one. Like,
oh, that was awesome.
Yeah.
Great song.
It was fun.
That song sounds like it was written by a much older person. So was that very personal experience, or just you just felt it?
Yeah, it was a personal experience, and it was kind of my way to get it out and express myself, and it was a good outlet. Music has always been a really good outlet for that.
I always ask, does the mood inspire the music, or does the music inspire the mood?
Oh, that's a good question. I think, you know, it's different every time. Sometimes I will hear a melody, and then words come to it, and the melody kind of takes over where the words are going to go. And sometimes I have something I want to write about, and I have to think about what kind of chord progression or melody will help that message.
What's the fastest you've ever written, put together a song that works? Creatively.
I have no idea. It takes me so long to finish, like, all my songs. Like, I even have some songs where, like, I write the whole thing, and then I have a middle part, and I actually just didn't write in any lyrics for a middle part. I just solo over the middle part. I do, like, scatting.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a really fast way to write a song, because then you don't have to think of any lyrics.
But you know a lot of people who have been published, a lot of the big boys and big girls, that's what they do.
Yeah.
It works. And your instrument is a voice, and so why not?
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, your voice is an instrument. See, I'm getting all...
Yeah, it's like a guitar solo, but I'm singing.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
So what's the longest? Did you ever get frustrated by
Oh, so frustrated. You have no idea how many... I have... melodies jump into my head at the most random points. I'll be, like, studying, and then I'll have to stop studying. And I have, like, hundreds of voice memos of me just, like, blah, 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 just, like, singing something. And so, I have so many unfinished ideas. So sometimes it just takes me a long time to go back to those ideas.
So when you take audio notes, is that a good way to describe it?
Yeah.
Do you just leave them there, or do you label them? How do you?
Yeah, you can label them. So
right, but what do you do? What's your process in labeling them? Because you must have to write little keywords that help you remember. Okay, what is this one all about?
Yeah, sometimes I forget to label them, and I have to go back and think about something. It's easy when I have lyrics to it, because then I can just put in a lyric, and then that's what it is. And sometimes it's just I was at the park today, like park song, or like I thought of it when I was in the park, or whatever, and. Or I'll put the date. Sometimes that helps, just remembering which day.
So this is all electronic, because I just started that. So many times, I'm a runner, and I've been running for many years. Mm-hmm. And so many times, things come into your head, whether it's problem solving or, you know, working something out, and you're out there in the middle of nowhere, and you got nothing. So now I bring my phone with me, and I stop, and I have to put it into my notes. So I'm getting into the 21st century. but that's awesome to be able to go back and hear yourself. And now, in terms of putting songs together...
Mm-hmm.
I don't quite know how to kind of ask the question. When people make movies, sometimes they're never satisfied with the whole thing. They keep editing and editing and editing and editing.
Mm-hmm.
Does it work that way with music, or can you just say, okay, this is fine as is?
I think you can edit a song forever and ever. Like, even the songs I put on my EP, I just kind of had to say, okay, that's enough. I'm going to stop looking at all the lyrics, and I'm just going to go and do it. Yeah, I don't think there's ever a point where I'm like 100% finished with a song.
Yeah, there's always room for improvement, but sometimes you have to draw a line.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's not like baking a cake.
That's right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So during the when the song was playing, we're talking about the recording process for this. So you want to talk a little bit about that? And you mentioned Renee and Fly, but the rest of the musicians that were involved?
Yeah, so I had recorded... I went in to bang a song with my dad, and we basically just recorded a vocal and a guitar track, kind of as just a demo, and I had the other musicians come in, later for a rehearsal. It was Renee Dupuis, Joe Cardoza, Leo Scimitaro. And we just had one rehearsal. We went over all the tunes, and then it was one recording process. And after all that was done, Fly actually came in for that one song and recorded a solo over it. But it was really great. I didn't write any of the specific parts. I just kind of had an idea of where I wanted the songs to go, and they were all really, really great and able to just kind of feel what I wanted, and I think it turned out pretty good.
Well, from my listen, it sure did.
They did a great job just understanding what I needed.
All right. Well, I think I know what the people out there listening need is another live song. Do you want to give us something?
Yeah. I'm going to do one original first, and then we'll go. So this song, I'm actually going to do a song about Montreal now.
Oh.
And
it's Ray Vaughan.
Yeah. And this is one, I was walking down the hill. Montreal is on a hill. And I could see the whole city. And it was really, really cold at night, and it was like midnight, and I was walking home. I was like, why am I walking home? Why is it so cold? And then this melody just kind of popped into my head, and a song is now here.
Excellent. Pretty song. Very pretty song.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, you notice I hesitated when you finished because we had a problem a couple shows ago where I stepped all over the singer because they had a little pause and then came back in.
Yeah, not so. Too many pauses.
We did it twice, though.
We did it twice. So so now I'm just really patient.
Okay.
But that was worth the wait.
All right.
Nice song. So
thank you.
So you like Montreal?
I do. Yeah, I love Montreal. Very different from here. Very, yeah. A lot is going on. And, you know, last week, I was just in Montreal 2 weeks ago, and there's a whole jazz fest going on, and I live just up the block from all cool. the free music, so I just walk down, like, every other night and just listen to all this stuff.
The metro is as efficient as it used to be. I was there a long time ago.
The metro is efficient. The buses are not. The buses are kind of slow. And But, yeah, it's okay. I live close to school, so I just walk there.
We were up in Quebec City last October, and the weather there, I mean, it's a 7 or 8 hour drive, and I think it's a little bit further maybe to Montreal, but the weather was the same as it is here, but it does get colder at night up there, yes?
It's fairly the same, but the winters are just longer and colder, and you find yourself outside, and it's freezing.
What was the experience like moving up there? I presume you went by yourself as a student to go not only to a 12-hour drive away, but also to a different country.
Yeah, I mean, it was new and exciting. And, I mean, my parents helped me move in and everything. And, you know, there's a surprising amount of Massachusetts people up there, though. So that was nice.
I know several from Gloucester.
Yeah, it's really weird. But, I mean, I just really liked it there. And so it was kind of a natural transition for me. I still don't know what they're saying sometimes, and I will learn French eventually, but it's been really good for me.
Now, we talked about, before we went on the air, about what you're taking up there. You're going into your third year, or you just finished your third year?
I'm going into my third year.
All right, so what are you studying, and what's been the most impactful course for you?
Okay, well, what I'm studying is jazz voice is my major, and I just added a second major in psychology. I'm also doing a music entrepreneurship minor, which is really all very good. And I'd say, like, my first year of classes were the most impactful just because I didn't really realize how different a language music is, and it's not really something that can be taught. Like, nobody taught me how to speak in a music language, and just by being there and listening to my professors talk about theory and improv, and I even had to take a piano course, it just really helps me be able to talk and communicate about music in general. Yeah.
So you said sometimes you don't understand the people around. the class is all taught in English?
Yeah, McGill is an English-speaking school, yeah.
So, okay, obviously that would...
Yeah.
As a non-French
speaker...
I've taken
a French class. I just, like, need a tutor. I need to, yeah.
Well, taking a class to learn French is different than taking a class in French.
Right. So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
They enable the English speakers, because everyone up there speaks French.
Right.
And English.
They're ready
in
a moment to speak, like if you go to Stodervice.
Right, right.
They'll speak French, but they'll speak
English. Yeah, it's one of the... Sometimes I'll try, because I know a couple things, and they're like, it's okay.
I was nervous when we went to Quebec because of the nationalism problem that they have.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe I'm saying it the wrong way, but you know what I'm trying to say. But everyone was so accommodating. As soon as they realized that we couldn't speak French, they were just fine.
Yep.
And it was interesting. I don't know if you guys are sports fans, but interesting note, in Quebec, I just naturally figured they were Canadiens fans. No. They hate Canadiens, and they hate Montreal because, I guess, the Quebec Nordiques left.
I didn't know that.
So they actually follow the Bruins because Patrice Bergeron plays for the Bruins, and he's from that area. So everybody I ran to in Quebec who lives up there, they're Bruins fans, which really blew me away. I figured they'd be Canadiens fans.
Yeah,
that's
2 weeks
funny.
Ago we were up visiting. I talked to the delivery man outside on the street, and same story.
Yeah.
He says, "Oh, Canadiens." He said, "No,
I know. I was
I like the Bruins."
Okay. But have you been to any events in Montreal? Do you have, for example, on campus? You must have concerts and so on, or guests.
Yeah.
But also in the city, have you had a chance to visit the city?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I get to go to all the concerts in school for free. So I've checked out some of the ensembles, and they're great. And I have the little bars I like to go to that have live music. And there's really so much music going on right now. There's the Jazz Fest. There's a lot of French music. And there's, you know, I have a hip-hop jam I like to go to, and indie music is pretty big in Montreal as well.
We saw two concerts when we were there 2 weeks ago, right? Bobby
yeah.
McFerrin.
Oh, yeah.
And,
and The War on Drugs was playing, which is also kind of like an indie rock band.
There must have been 30,000 people in the streets.
That was crazy, yeah.
And it's happening, right? It's, yeah, it's fantastic.
It was great, yeah. I dragged them to that one. They liked it, though, so.
Yeah. It's War on Drugs. It's an indie band.
Yeah, like an indie rock, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Nice. I didn't realize Bobby McFerrin was still playing around, but I like him.
Yeah, he's great. It was really great. It was all improv. He was improvising with a choir behind him, and so it was, like, it was incredible, yeah.
What's been your live performance experience?
I've done a couple live shows in Montreal at just, like, little venues, and, you know, less than 50 mm-hmm. people have been, and I haven't been performing too much. I've been mostly writing and playing with my friends.
Do you like playing live in front of people?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I do. I do. It's a good, I really like performing live with other people, with a band, with mm-hmm. me, and to be able to feed off them, which I haven't done a whole lot of, but I'm doing more and more.
Now you do, because Peter Van Ness shared our post today about this show, and you mm-hmm. mentioned you're playing something, yeah. So you want to give that a little bit of a...
Yeah, look? Yeah. So on this Saturday, I'll be opening for Anthony Gomes at 9 Wallace. I believe the show starts at 8, doors open at 7. And I'll be doing some original tunes. It'll be kind of like this, kind of acoustic, kind of just warm up the audience.
Yeah.
And I'm excited. Great, great.
Playing alone? Rick joining you? A band?
I think he's going to be joining me, yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Have a little bit extra, because Anthony Gomes, his music is so cool and rocking, so.
Yeah, he's a blues player.
Yeah.
Another Canadian.
Yeah, he's actually from Toronto.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. So as far as that goes, is there a cover charge? What's the deal for 9 Wallace?
I know that tickets are available at gimmelive.com.
Okay, yeah. Check there first, folks. But
yeah.
And the date again, I'm sorry.
It's this Saturday. I don't know what's the date for this Saturday.
Whatever this Saturday is.
July
21st or something.
Something, yeah.
And also, it's an awesome room. It's like a table and chairs.
Right, right. It's like an old club, right? Like
a club,
that feel to it, yeah.
It's a bar. It's and check out 9 Wallace Street in general. They do a lot of great shows. It's next to the... not the Cabot, but the...
Larkham?
The Larkham,
yes.
Theater. Yeah, it's part of that, I guess, group of...
Right, Peter and Vicky Van Ness, just mm-hmm. to give them a little plug. That's what we do here, we plug people.
Yeah, no, so. It's great that, you know, I've never met... well, not to say never, haven't run into Peter lately, but it was great to get a call from him for Sophia to do this, so...
Yeah.
Are you also doing... TV show.
Yeah. Oh, Alan Estes TV show.
Soundcheck. Scene. Cape Ann Scene. S-E-E-S-E-E-N. It's spelled weird.
Yeah.
We know it as Alan Estes Show.
The Alan Estes Show. Yes.
Yeah, it's on August 30th. Right?
Yes, taping it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah, Alan was on the show. Actually, Alan, when my band was on the show, Alan was the substitute host. So,
oh, okay.
But he has a lot of great people on his show.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so. it's great that Peter, Alan, yourself, reached out and got Sophia the awesome talent. Why wouldn't you reach out?
But, yeah, of course.
But it's been nice.
Be stupid not to.
Yeah. You've kind of become my little manager.
Yeah, the Brian
Everybody's
Epstein.
Everybody's going to my dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Brian Epstein of the organization, good. Right?
Well, you know, I'm the frontline protection, so.
Yeah.
Wow. That's shifting, right? Sophia's, you know, she's been in Montreal too, so I'm here, so it's
right.
People more
right.
Have to
what
get in touch
does
with
I want to go back to the course on the major or minor on entrepreneurship?
Yeah,
tell me about that.
So it's just like a business minor, and they basically just put you into a room, you take business classes, and it's like a crash course on business. Mm-hmm. So they throw, like, accounting at you and managing people and managing money type of thing. But I've also taken, like, music marketing courses as well.
And with technology, the way it changes, I mean, almost from week to week,
yeah.
They must have the state-of-the-art stuff up there so that you can be familiarized with it?
Yeah, I've taken a couple courses on, like, recording and producing type things, and they have a huge... they have a really nice recording studio and a research area, and you know, they're actually doing this. This is really cool. They're doing 3D recording up there, and it's when you have like a ton of microphones at.
And as we said before the show, make sure your cell phones are off.
So basically, you have a bunch of microphones. You have like three overhead. At all different angles of an instrument, so you might put them down below, right in front, right above, like, you know, way like 50 feet away, or 100, you know, all over the place. And it's called 3D recording. And when you listen back, it's this way in depth recording. It's crazy. So that's what I learned about, in the audio recording. It's this new thing.
I remember when the Who did Quadrophenia, and. It was great how they recorded it, but you could still only listen in stereo.
Right.
But you're able to pick that up in stereo with as you say, just listening on normal devices to this 3D sound?
Yeah, you know, I'm not... Oh, you know what it was? We were in one room, and they actually had speakers all around the room.
Cool.
Re-remembering.
Like the Omni Theater type thing.
Yeah, it's like, it's wild, though, and because it's not just one microphone, it's coming from all of these different spots that was recorded and then relayed all around and above you and below as well. So you really hear all the different...
That's interesting. So it's not necessarily trying to get, like if you look at some of the things on recording software, you know, you can pick, if you do, like, instead of doing an actual amplifier, you can pick the amp you want, and it'll have, you want the mic here, the mic here, the mic here. But you're talking, they just have it from all different points of view, so
yeah.
It's recording what a person would have heard standing in each of those spots.
Yeah, it's so cool, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Not bad. That's our top secret thing at McGill.
Oh, great. Well, it's out there now.
Yeah.
I hope that the McGill secret police don't show up here.
I hope they don't, yeah.
All right, so you got Nine Wallace coming up, you've got the Alan Estes Show taping, but you don't know when that's going to air yet.
I'm not really sure.
Nope. Okay. But you'll keep, you have a Facebook fan page? Or just your personal page?
Yeah, it's just I got to make one of those.
Yeah. But in the meantime, people can just find you on
Facebook. Yeah, they can find me.
And keep up with the latest goings on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we still have some time here. You want to go to your final live song, and then we'll do some more chat, and then go out with the last recording?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right. And what's coming up now is an old jazz standard?
Yeah.
All right. Let's
this
just
is what I've learned.
So since you're switching mics, let's just do a quick mic check on that.
Okay. Hello?
Okay, hello, on your end, Rick? Sound good? All right, beautiful.
Okay. Summertime, and the living is easy. Fish are jumping, and the cotton is high. Little baby, don't you cry. One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. You will spread your wings and you'll take to that sky until that moment. Baby,
Even a song we've heard a million times by a million artists, that was still awesome.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Tremendous. Little Ella in there.
Yeah.
That was amazing. I had a question and I lost it. I'll get it back again. I totally lost it.
So, well,
oh, I know it. Okay. That song, why did you pick it? Because obviously you feel it.
That was like one of the first songs jazz songs I've ever learned. And it always just really resonated with me. You know, I live right in nature, and my favorite time is summertime, and it's just kind of, it's just that song that's always been there, I guess.
It's an up song. It's sort of upbeat song.
It's not a sad song. It's actually very sad. But I try to think of it as more happy. It's kind of melancholy to me.
Right.
You know, now that really resonates with me. I'm not here. I'm not here anymore, and I actually really do miss home a lot of the times. I miss the, you know, we're so lucky to be here. We have the beach. We have the ocean. We have so many beautiful things, and that I don't really have. I mean, I love the city, but I don't have it there.
Do you have my daughter hangs around with people sort of who are in her major, sort of, you know, for the most part. Do you do the same thing? You hang around with people, you talk music, you know, you maybe just jam every now and then.
Yeah.
That must be so cool. That must be fun.
Yeah. All my friends pretty much play some instrument, pretty much in the same major.
Do you get to play live in school? I mean, is that part of the curriculum? Because you have voice training and stuff like that?
Yeah, it kind of depends on your program and or what ensemble you're in. I was in a jazz choir ensemble, and we have two live performances every year, and I was also part of a jazz combo, which is just like a little jazz band, and you have two required performances to do, so there's a little bit of the performance aspect.
What's the live stuff that your professor had organized too?
This was kind of a separate, it wasn't part of the curriculum, but my voice teacher, Sienna Dahlin, had organized a kind of vocalist night, and there were four vocalists, four jazz vocalists, and we all got up and sang a couple tunes each.
Nightclub.
And
she picked you for that?
Yeah, she sent out a message to a couple different people to see who was available, and and she featured her students mainly, yeah.
Anybody that you know from school who was gets out and performs in the city that you guys go visit? You know, like at clubs or whatever?
Yeah, people perform it all the time. So every weekend there's somebody I know that's somewhere doing something. So I have got a lot of opportunities to just go see them.
Sienna.
Yeah, my professors are performing all the time at the Jazz Fest. Quite a few were in the Jazz Fest as well. So it's everywhere, yeah.
What have you learned so far about music or performance, maybe that really stands out that you didn't know before? Because I know, sort of like with sports, every boy who grows up knows baseball, and we're all coaches. We all know everything there is to know about baseball until you get into baseball. And then when you really get into it, you realize you don't know anything. Is it similar with music? Because it's a natural, obviously you have a gift and a talent, and your parents have infused that in you. But when you go to study the finer points of either the production or voice or performance, is there something that stands out that, ooh, I didn't know that?
Well, Sienna, my voice teacher, taught me so much about scatting and soloing and all the different ways there are to really hear a song and take in that and all the little patterns that you can do. And I had never thought about that before. Like, I thought about it a little bit, but not in the same context. And I just kind of have heard my, soloing ability go from very little to a lot more in just 2 years. And I never knew there was so much in there, so many different things. And it's not just the what's on the paper kind of aspect. It's feeling it as well.
Right.
There's so many different ways to think about it. And you're not just saying what's on the paper.
Well, even your hand gestures, your body movement, your eyes, and your breathing. I mean, I don't know if that's part of it, but you can tell when a singer is feeling it, I guess. And, and you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah.
It's, whereas just going up and reading or just, singing the national anthem type thing. You feel it. The words mean something, but the music means something. And I don't have that ability. I'm colorblind. I'm music colorblind. I just, I like what I like. But so you really feel that you're getting something, obviously, pretty damn good up there. And the next 2 years, what's the curriculum like for you this coming year?
Well, I'm kind of shifting into the psychology aspect.
Right.
So I have a lot of psychology classes to take.
Oh, good
and
heavens.
Yeah, it's going to be... I'm really excited. I'm thinking about going into music research. So it would be more researching music and the brain.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the place to be, is it, McGill, right?
Yeah, okay. So that's why I kind of added it. And, but I'm not 100% sure where it's all going to lead, but that's the idea. And I have ensembles I have to do, and yeah.
Is there such a thing as music therapy for relation to the brain and so on?
There is music therapy, and that's something I've looked into a bit, but I don't think that's the way I want to go. That's more like one-on-one work with somebody.
Oh, okay.
And it's more like, you're working with a kid or you're working with somebody, whereas research is research. And I've worked with, I actually spent the last year teaching, and so I was teaching really little kids piano and voice.
Excellent.
And while it was a great experience, I don't think I don't think I'm going to keep teaching.
On your resume.
It's on my resume, and I learned a lot, and I'm really glad I did it. Really glad.
Yeah. Mainly you learned you don't want to do it.
Yeah.
That's good.
Well.
I taught math for 40 years, and I loved it.
Yeah.
High school math. But I couldn't do tutoring. I just couldn't do one-on-one.
It takes a lot out of you. It's very, especially when I taught like 3-year-olds how to play piano, and they're all over the place.
Sophia's a taskmaster, right? So
I'm
we're working on
do
music.
This
she's,
now.
You know, right. So the kids challenge the taskmaster.
Wow.
Right?
How many unwritten songs do you have? No, wrong way to put it. How many songs do you have that you haven't published or you haven't finished? In other words, Isaac Asimov. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He used to be a biochemistry professor at Boston University, but a very very prolific writer. He wrote 8 hours a day every day, and he had back then typewriters, but in the middle of four desks, he had four desks at 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 9 o'clock, and he had a spinning chair, and he wrote 4 manuscripts a day. He wrote on 4 manuscripts each day.
Wow.
All the time. Yep, it was just crazy. And of course, not everything was published, but I know that you've got a lot of music written down. You've got bits and pieces here. So do you have a lot of projects that you got to get to at some point?
Yeah, I have a couple songs that are pretty much done and that I want to get done, and a concept for an album that I would like to finish. And I definitely have enough material. It's just the act of sitting down and figuring out how to finish them, at least enough to share them. So.
Wow. Well, we're running up against the clock here, so let me do some quick housekeeping. First of all, if you know anybody, now I'm speaking to you folks out there listening, anybody who might be a good fit for our show, we're looking to fill our fall and winter schedule. So if you know anybody who's got half a dozen or so original songs, that's the key for the show, we'd love to have them. You can give me a call at 508-284-3399 or reach me through the Unfinished Music Facebook page. And coming up at the on August 2nd at 6 p.m., my band will be at the Harbor Loop concerts. It's on their flyer as Underground Playground, which was incorrect, but it's still us, trust me. So hope to see you there. And I just want to give a big thanks to Sophia Gadbois and Rick Gadbois for coming down today and entertaining us.
Thank you so
and
much
educating
for
us.
Us.
Well, thank you so much. So we're going to go out on a song, and this is from the EP, which people, again, can get at sophiagadbois.bandcamp.com.
Yep.
And the CDs will be available soon. Keep up on our Facebook page for the latest. And here it is, Wanderer.